Grant us wisdom, grant us courage. Probably the two most important prayers a Christian can pray besides, forgive me my sins. Today we begin a new sermon series on Sunday mornings called God of Grace and God of Glory, reading through the Gospel of John. What does it mean that God is a God of grace and a God of glory? And today I'd like us to consider, first of all, what it means for God to be both. Now, I get this question often. Back in the Garden of Eden, after Adam and Eve sinned, we just heard the whole narrative from Genesis 3. Why couldn't God just have forgiven them and be done with it? And so I usually answer, He did forgive them. But then the person responds, but why couldn't He have just made everything still perfect and not have allowed all the curses to happen? You know, the thorns to grow, the sweat of the brow, Adam and Eve will now start fighting, and death, and all of that bad stuff. Why couldn't He just have allowed everything to stay perfect? Why couldn't He just forgive them? I think I now understand your question, I respond. What you mean to ask is, why couldn't God just overlook their sin? Not care that they disobeyed His command and pretend everything was perfect, even though it was not. Do we do that in our relationships? When other people intentionally hurt us or sin against us, do we just ignore that it didn't happen? Pretend it didn't happen? Maybe we do, but if we do, does that make it all okay? Does that solve the problem? You see, our human concept of forgiveness is not like God's. Our human concept of forgiveness is more synonymous with the act of overlooking or not caring or pretending something is not as it really is. So, you spread a rumor about me, I can choose to overlook it or not care about it. I can pretend you didn't do it. But our relationship is not okay if I do any of these things. It's still broken. I've chosen to leave it broken. I can throw a rock through your car window, and you can then choose to overlook it, not care about it. You can pretend it didn't happen. But by responding in any of these ways, the car window is not fixed. And our relationship, I'm going to guess, isn't either. This is not forgiveness. This is overlooking. This is not caring. It's pretending something is what it is not. God's concept of forgiveness has everything to do with looking at what happened, what actually happened, not overlooking it, caring about what happened, and caring about the consequences that are going to happen, and caring about what makes it right, even though things are now wrong. Not pretending something is what it isn't. Are you following my train of thought? God's concept of forgiveness is even greater than we could ever imagine our concept of forgiveness. We think it would be great to overlook sin. Then we have to deal with it. God's concept of forgiveness is so much more greater. God's concept is about making perfect that which has become imperfect. And God does this kind of forgiveness, in order to protect and provide His glory. He's a God of glory. He wants to protect His glory and provide His glory for His creation. The word glory speaks to God's attributes of ultimate perfection, ultimate power. He is so perfect, He cannot accept anything less than perfect. It's important for me to distinguish, when I say God is perfect, I do not mean to suggest He's perfect as in anal, type A personality. You know, like that parent or teacher, I'm one of them, one of those bosses that has to have everything done perfectly in their anal, nagging, type A personality kind of a way. Not that type of perfect. God's glory, His ultimate perfection, ultimate power is seen in the glory of His creation, His original creation. He created everything perfect. Perfect as in no defects. There was no sin, no sorrow, no fighting, no boredom, no hunger, no thirsting, no wanting, no disease, no coronavirus, no cancer, no poverty. There was no death. That's perfect. That's God's glory. That is what God is protecting when He protects and provides His glory. That is what God is protecting when He chose not to overlook, not to not care, and not to pretend what had really happened, had it happened in the garden when Adam and Eve sinned. The world that God originally created, the humanity that God originally created, the perfect that we all long for and dream of, that's what God's glory was and still is. And that is what He protects when He chooses to forgive the way He forgives. If God were to have just overlooked Adam and Eve's sin, His creation would not, under any circumstance, be perfect as He originally created, nor would it be able to become perfect again. More than this, He would no longer be perfect. He would no longer be a God of glory if He had overlooked their sin and just not dealt with it. The reality is, Adam and Eve did not just make some mistake in the garden. A mistake would have been something like, and I don't even know if this is possible, but a mistake in a perfect world would be something like Adam gets up one morning, he's taking a walk, and he slips on a wet rock and falls into the river. Living in a perfect world, in the Garden of Eden as it was, this mistake would not have led to any kind of pain, no tragedy, no blood, no bruise, no ow, no help, because everything was perfect. If Adam were to slip on a rock and fall into the river, the result would be perhaps Adam laughing hysterically about the unplanned bath, and all the animals swimming immediately, flying around him, and offering perfect care, and joyfully laughing and playing with him in the river. That could be a mistake in a perfect world. The reality is, Adam and Eve didn't just make a mistake in the garden when they touched and ate from the forbidden fruit. They sinned. They sinned against the holy God. They sinned against the glory of God, against the perfection of God. He gave them one command only, and it was to not touch or eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And they did. And they did so not because they forgot. They had perfect memory. They did so not because they slipped and touched the tree, a whoopsie mistake. They did so because they intentionally decided they wanted to become like God. That's what the Bible says. As the serpent Satan had tempted them to think they could become. That's why they touched the fruit. That's why they ate from the fruit. And so the result of Adam and Eve's sin was not the same as a whoopsie mistake that you could just fix by overlooking, by not caring, or by pretending it did not happen. The result of Adam and Eve's sin was that they made God's perfect imperfect. They made God's perfect kingdom fallen, sinful, immediately. And so immediately Adam and Eve recognized their shame. And what do? They immediately hide from God and His glory. They're afraid of God now. That's the result. And they hide from each other. They immediately become afraid of the animal kingdom, and likewise, I'm sure the animal kingdom afraid of them. All of creation is messed up. Immediately, God comes to the garden, and He has to question them. Why does God have to question them? Because they're hiding, and because they're not truthful anymore. They don't know truth anymore. Well, they might know it, but they don't speak it. Immediately, Adam and Eve blame creation. They blame each other. They blame the serpent. They even blame God for what happened. So it's more than a, whoops, I touched the tree mistake. And the results are disastrous. And so the question really becomes, do we really want a perfect God who created everything perfect to walk back into that garden and just smile and overlook the situation? Kids will be kids. Do we really want a perfect God of glory to not care what had happened and pretend that his garden is still perfect when it's not? Do we really think that's going to make it better? Pretending it's perfect when it's not? Adam and Eve weren't perfect anymore. They were fighting already before God even came. Do we want God to ignore that? They were going to die. Do we want God to ignore that? When you go to the doctor, and the doctor knows you have a virus or cancer, would you rather have him just send you home and not tell you the truth and not give you the remedy for the illness? Would it be better just pretend that you're okay, even though the symptoms are there? You're sweating, you have a fever, you got a sore throat. Now, if anything that God could have done, God could have just destroyed the imperfect and started over and made two new human beings and a new garden and new giraffes and new elephants and new flamingos and started all over. But if God would have done that, none of us would be here today wondering about this. Why not? Because every single one of us are sons and daughters of Adam and Eve. Yes, we believe in science. God choosing to allow them to live was a choice to allow you to sit in the pew today, thousands of years later. Think about it. You are all DNA of Adam and Eve. God's choice for them to allow them to live was God's choice for you. If he destroyed everything and made everything new, there'd be other people sitting here, but it wouldn't be you or it wouldn't be me. And so it's good, very good, that our God remained a God of glory. A God of ultimate perfection, an ultimate power back then, and he remains that today, in our day and age too. But as humanity found out from the days of Adam and Eve, even to the days of Moses, as our epistle lesson text talks about, and even into our day, imperfect humanity cannot live in the presence of a God of glory. Adam and Eve had to be expelled out of the garden. And when the glory of God is separated from its creation, death seems to take over. The first death happens in the garden, not Adam or Eve, and they didn't have kids yet. God kills. God kills an animal. We don't know which kind of one. It sounds sad, and it was, but that's the result of sin. God kills an animal because he clothes Adam and Eve of their shame. This God of glory has to hide their shame in creation. Adam and Eve go on to live for hundreds of years, but they live in a world void of the glory of God. And as you turn the page of the Bible, you see it. Cain kills Abel. And there's more murder in chapter 4 as well. Animals kill each other, we can assume. And eventually everyone dies. Read chapter 5, the genealogy. And he died, and he died, and he died, and he died. Death seems to reign when the glory of God no longer lives among the people. But hidden back in the garden, besides God killing an animal and clothing the shame of Adam and Eve, he did make a promise. A promise for the glory of God, for the God of glory, to return to this earth and live among all of his creation, among humanity and all the animals and the birds and the fish and the creepy things, to live among his creation in all of his glory once again. You see, God promised to reverse the curse that Adam and Eve had brought upon his creation by their sin. And how did he do that? This God of glory chose to do it by grace, better known as forgiveness, the way that this God of glory forgives, not the way that you and I sometimes choose to forgive. He didn't overlook it. He didn't pretend it didn't happen. He chose to give His grace. And His grace is the one thing that rivals the power of His glory. That's why He is a God of grace and a God of glory. And both His grace and His glory are more powerful than anything in the universe. We can't stand before His glory in our imperfect nature. But His grace is so powerful, it makes us able to stand in front of His glory again. God's grace does not overlook sin. God's grace does not not care. It does not pretend sin does not exist. God's grace, or the grace of God, forgives sins. For He gives the payment for our sin. And that payment is no small payment. That's why it's so powerful. It wasn't cheap. That's why you and I can't pay for it. Another death must happen. This time, it's no animal that clothes our shame. This time, it's His Son, Jesus. God of grace, God of glory, in the flesh, sacrificed on our behalf. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, the God of the Gospel of John proclaims to us today. And we have seen His glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. In the name of Jesus, amen.